Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your life. Lord, I just commit my spirit into your hands, and I just trust you with my life. And I just thank you, Lord, that man, we could give up the Adam life, and that your life can be born in us. I just thank you, Lord, that your life can be manifested in me here today, and that your words could come out of me today, and that people can be blessed whether they know it or not. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your life. Thank you, Father, that you chose by the foolishness of preaching that your life could be born in people. And we just believe that your life can be born in people's hearts today. And that life can keep manifesting in them more and more each day that they walk on this earth with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Last week we started talking about abiding in the love of God and how Jesus abided in the love of God and how Jesus abided in the love of God by abiding in the commandment of God. And we kind of like flipped that thing all upside down and basically stomped on a carnal interpretation of the word commandment. And really what Jesus was saying was, there is a way that the Father came and shaped my life with his love for me. There is a way in which the Father came and he shaped my life with his love. And the way that he shaped my life with his love is through this commandment. Now, we've twisted that thing all up and basically made it impossible for anybody to experience a life shaped by the love of God, because we taught that commandment was God telling people they should love. No. You can't love by being told you should love. You can only love by the Father shaping your life with his love. Okay? And so we're gonna start trying to understand what that looks like and how that happens, so we can stop having our minds consumed with about how we should be loving people, and then we can find that our lives are shaped so much by the love of God that we just find ourselves loving people. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a big difference. You can't love people because you desire to. You can't love people because you think you're supposed to. You can't even love people because you hear that you've been created to love and that's the life you're supposed to have. There's one way you can love people, and that's if the Father comes and shapes your life with his love for you. Period. So how does he do that? How does that work? And what we have when God created man, when God created Adam, We see that God looked upon Adam, and he had certain thoughts in his heart about Adam when he looked at Adam. He had certain thoughts about Adam. He thought Adam was beautiful. He thought Adam was his kind. He looked at Adam and he said, this guy, Adam, that I created from the dust of the ground and I breathed life into, this guy, man, he satisfies my every desire for life and fellowship. This guy can be my friend. Here's a guy that I can walk with all the days of my life and I could just feel like I lack nothing. These are the thoughts that God had in his mind about Adam. Okay? And because he had those thoughts in his mind about Adam, it caused his mind and his emotions and his whole being to become excited with Adam, to become excited about Adam. He was excited intellectually, emotionally. He was just excited about Adam because of what he thought about Adam when he looked upon him. And this caused him to love Adam. So what God said was, listen, let me now shape Adam's life by my love for him. Let me now come and shape his life by the love that I feel in my heart for him, in order that his life can now be shaped by my love for him dwelling in his heart. Hallelujah. And so what does he do to come and shape Adam's life with his love for Adam? What he does is it says he blessed Adam. He baroked Adam. It means he got down on one knee in adoration of Adam, and he spoke well of Adam. So when God thought something about Adam, and he found that the thoughts he had about Adam caused him to feel love towards Adam, and he then wanted to shape Adam's life with that love that he felt for Adam, he said, let me now come and speak to Adam the thoughts I have in my heart when I look at him. And so what God does to come and shape Adam's life with his love for him is he comes, he gets down on one knee in adoration of Adam as his son, the way we all adore our children when they're born. And what does he do? He begins to praise Adam. What that means is he begins to speak the most eloquent, the most glorious, the most beautiful speech that could ever come out of a person's mouth about someone else in the entire universe. He begins to speak the words or the thoughts he has in his heart about Adam to Adam. He begins to share with Adam the thoughts he has for Adam. Because what he knows is that in the day that the thoughts I have about Adam can then dwell in Adam's heart, Adam can then feel the love I feel for him because of what I think about him. You see, it was the thoughts that God had for Adam that brought forth or gave birth to love in his heart towards Adam. It was what he thought of Adam. And so he comes and he says, if I can share my thoughts with Adam, if I can share what I think of Adam with him, then his life can be shaped by my love for him, because my thoughts can become his thoughts, and my thoughts can dwell in his heart. And in my thoughts dwelling in his heart, the same way my thoughts of him brought forth love in me, my thoughts of him dwelling in his heart can also bring forth love in him. Hallelujah! You guys follow that? This is how it goes. Now, this is a repeat what happened with Jesus. Jesus is the last Adam. And so this is a repeat of what happened with Jesus. So when Jesus says he abided in the commandment of the Father, we can think of it as being the same thing as if Adam had abided in the thoughts that the Father spoke of him when Adam opened his eyes and he saw the Father on one knee speaking well of him. You see, the first Adam did not abide in the thoughts of God. So he did not abide in the love of God. But what happened was, is the last Adam came named Jesus. And he heard the same thoughts about him that the Father spoke over the first Adam. But the last Adam, his name is Jesus. He abided in the Father's thoughts of him. He abided in the love of the Father. I know this is so hard for us to make this connection. But when we think of that commandment, we want to think of God baraking Adam. And we want to define that baraking, or the sharing of the thoughts. We want to find that as the thing that Jesus is saying he abided in. The Father shared with Jesus his heart for him. He shared his thoughts for Jesus with him. Jesus abided in those thoughts. And so he experienced a life shaped by the Father's love. And he was able to abide in that love at every turn in this earth. And what that did was it manifested the life of God that's called love, that is defined by the fruit of the Spirit. Do you see? There is a life called love. That love is what John was talking about when he said God is love. And that life called love that exists in God, in the Godhead, that is born from the Spirit of God, that life called love is defined, or finds its definition or shape, by what Paul listed in Galatians in the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, joy, meekness, peace, love, long-suffering. All those things are attributes of this life called love that the Father comes to shape our life with. And he does it by revealing his thoughts about us in the person of Jesus. So we have the Father trying to shape Adam's life with his love by getting down on one knee in adoration and then speaking well of Adam. Adam didn't abide in the Father's thoughts. But now we see the same thing happening with Jesus. Is the Father does the same thing with Jesus that he did with Adam. But we see Jesus abiding in the thoughts of the Father and abiding in the love of God. So the same thing could happen all over again with you and I. When the Father raised Jesus and sat Jesus at the right hand as the representative of all us, it was another happening, like just like we see in the book of Genesis. That was God getting down on one knee and baraking man all over again. It was God getting down on one knee and blessing man all over again. That's what God was doing when he raised Jesus from the dead as the representative of what he thinks of you and sat him at his right hand. He was revealing his thoughts for you. He was speaking well of you. He was speaking about you with the most glorious, the most eloquent, the most beautiful speech that could ever be uttered in the universe. Because just like he wanted to shape Adam's life with his love for him by sharing his thoughts with him, he also wants to come and shape your life with his love for you by revealing his thoughts of you, by revealing to you how beautiful you are to him when he looks at you, by revealing to you that you satisfy every desire in his heart for life and friendship, by revealing to you that you are his kind, that he's called you his son, that he's called you his daughter. He comes to share his heart with you in order that you can find his heart dwelling in you, and you can find your life and your thoughts shaped by his life and his thoughts. Hallelujah. And so you see the way the spirit of prophecy works out. You know, people don't study prophecy in the correct way. You see a recurring event in the spirit of prophecy. Kink, kink, kink. You see the same kind of a thing? Adam in Hebrew means man. And so God comes to do the same thing he did to Adam in Genesis to us in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the manifestation of God getting down on one knee and telling all of you that he loves you. Telling all of you how beautiful you are to him. Telling all of you that he's never known you according to the sin you committed. Telling all of you that he's never known you based on your ability to be fruitful. But he's only ever known you according to the resurrected Jesus. And Christ is the most eloquent, beautiful speech that could ever be uttered about anything in the universe. And he uttered it about you. And do you know why he could say it about you? Because he first thought it. He had to first think it before he could say it. And so he says, look, what do I think about man? He says, the thoughts I have about man, they cause me to feel this funny thing on the inside. And you guys ever felt butterflies when you felt love for somebody? It's like that. It captivates you. You know when it hits you. You've really experienced it. It's unlike anything you've experienced. That's how it was for God when he made man. He was busy looking over all of creation, looking over all the world. Nothing gave him that butterfly on the inside. Nothing gave him that ooey-gooey feeling on the inside. And then he saw man. And he said, my goodness, when I look at them, I think something, and what I think causes me to love them. Let me now come to them, share with them my thoughts of them, and then they can find, they can feel the love I feel for them in their heart. You see what I'm saying? Glory to God. So what we have is Jesus abiding in the Father's commandment, and what that means is he abided in the thoughts and intentions of the Father towards him. And because he abided in the Father's thoughts of him, it means that he experienced the love of the Father in the deepest core of his being. And so then his life became animated by the love of God. Okay? Now, through this, through Jesus abiding in the thoughts of the Father, what could happen was the thoughts and intentions of the Father towards all people could be made flesh in Jesus. In order that all of us could also have fellowship with the heart of the Father in Jesus. And then what could happen is we could all find ourselves experiencing the love of God in the deepest core of our being, and then we could then find our lives animated by the love of God just like Jesus did. You guys following that? Does that make any sense? Too much talk about love. Greg, you got to talk more about sin. So the thing Jesus says is that he abided in the Father's heart for him. And this caused him to experience the love of God in the deepest core of his being. Okay? I'm going to say this twice so we could get this good. And because of Jesus experiencing, because him dwelling in the Father's heart for him caused him to experience the love of God in the deepest core of his being, what happened was is the Father's heart could be made flesh in him. So that in the Father's heart being made flesh in him, we could all fellowship or have intimacy with the thoughts of the Father about us. And then we could find our lives shaped by the love God feels for us. Where we find trust born in our hearts towards the Father. Where we see his goodness and his kindness towards us around every turn. You know, it used to be I could only see the goodness and kindness of God towards me if things went well. But now every turn I make, I see the goodness and kindness of God towards me because my life is being shaped by his love for me. And what happens now is that my heart has actually started to become persuaded that this guy really does love me, that it isn't lip service. Listen, people don't want to be honest because they think their view of God is that, well, if I say those things, he's going to come and smite me dead. But if we're all being honest, most of us have experienced the love of God as some form of lip service, where a guy says, I love you, and then he's beating you with the bat. Yeah, I love you, you know, and he's beating you with the bat. That's lip service, man. But what can happen now is I can actually find that I'm really persuaded that he loves me. What that means is I don't just find something in my head that says, well, I heard he loves me, so I believe he loves me. But rather, I am knowing his love for me because I'm experiencing it. You see what I'm saying? I'm experiencing it in the deepest core of my being. And so now I know God. If God is love, the way that you know God is by experiencing the love of God in your heart. Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? See, you guys can know me by fellowshipping with my intensity and my passion and my boldness. You see, you can know me. You can experience the passion that comes out of me. You can experience the boldness that comes out of me because here you are and you're witnessing it and you're a part of it and we're having fellowship together. Same way with God, man. Same way with God. All of you are having some reaction in your heart based on what I'm doing up here, how I'm doing it, the way I'm doing it. All of you have some reaction in your heart. So you're having fellowship with what's being born in me. And it's the same way with God. Love has been born in God towards all of us. And now that love has been manifested in the flesh in the person of Jesus in order that we could also, in hearing this love that's manifested in the person of Jesus, have fellowship with that love. And then we could know God by experiencing his love for us in the deepest core of our being. Hallelujah. You want to know how well God speaks of you? He decided that the thing he thinks is the greatest thing in the whole universe, he wants to give it to you for free. That's how highly esteemed you are in the eyes of God, that he doesn't consider you qualified for a lesser quality of life, a little bit substandard. God could still be good, right? If he let us have kindness and meekness and joy, but you know, he kept the love to himself. You know, that way he could establish his hierarchy. No. He feels so secure in who he is, he feels so secure in who he's made us to be, that he wants to give us the very thing that he finds the most enjoyment from, which is his life, and his life is called love. Hallelujah! So listen, there is a love that is of Christ. There is a love that is of Christ. There is a love that exists in the Godhead, and that we can experience when the wisdom that is Christ can dwell in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And we can find our minds being renewed to the truths that are contained in that wisdom. Okay? And what happens is as the wisdom that God revealed in Christ, as this wisdom can be manifested, as this wisdom can dwell in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, it will give shape to our thoughts. And in giving shape to our thoughts, it will give shape to our feelings. And what happens is the more that this wisdom can shape our thoughts with the truths that are contained in the Spirit, what will happen is we'll start finding that the love that exists in the Godhead is being born in our hearts. Do you see what I'm saying? So there is a love that is of Christ. And I'm not talking about just Jesus the person. We rejoice in Jesus the person and what that declares. But there's also Christ the wisdom of God. And when that wisdom can start dwelling in my heart and shaping my thoughts, that wisdom gives birth to the life called love that exists in the Godhead in the heart of human beings. Okay? Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 1, maybe chapter 2. I think it's either at the end of chapter 1 or at the beginning of chapter 2. He said, Christ has become to us wisdom. Christ has become to us wisdom. Christ has become to us the place that we reason from about everything we think and everything we believe. That's what Paul's talking about. He's become to us the place that we reason from about everything we think and everything we believe. So as this wisdom that is Christ begins to shape our thoughts, what happens is it gives birth to the love of God in our hearts. And now the love of God starts dwelling in our hearts, glory to God. And we start experiencing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And that fruit of the Spirit starts manifesting out of our lives everywhere. So, you know, something to keep in mind here, this is how closely related we are to God. You know, for me, I could just feel the love of God for me when I just saw how much like him I was. When I could just hear that he thought I was like him. When I could just hear that he saw himself in me, that blew my mind. And I just felt love thinking that way. I just felt love, God saying, listen, you're my kind. You're my kindred. I call you son. Man, when I could just start thinking about God like that, even just that caused me to feel the love of God inside of me. But something to think about, how closely related we are to God, is that Christ is also the wisdom of God. He hasn't just become wisdom to us. He's also the wisdom of God. He's the same wisdom that dwells in God. He is the Spirit that dwells in God. He's the manifestation of the Spirit of God. He's the manifestation of the wisdom of God. So God has said, I have this wisdom in myself, and I want this wisdom I have in myself to now become the wisdom for all people. And so Christ comes. Boom. So God doesn't just give us some lesser kind of a wisdom. He gives us the very wisdom that He has. Okay? So in that Christ comes to shape our thoughts, and in order to shape our feelings, this wisdom that God revealed in Christ also gives definition to God's thoughts. It also gives definition to what God believes. This wisdom that God has revealed in Christ also gives definition to what God's thoughts are. And it also gives definition to what God believes. Do you see what I'm saying? He's given for us to have the same wisdom. Why? So that we can find our thoughts shaped by the same thing that shapes His thoughts. Do you see what I'm saying? He wants us, Christ becoming to us wisdom, is God coming to shape our thoughts with the very wisdom He has in Himself that shapes His thoughts. It's God coming to us, wanting to shape our lives by His love for us, and He knows the thing that will shape our lives by His love for us is what He thinks of us. And so He's come and given us His wisdom, the wisdom that He has that caused Him to think a certain thing about us, so that that wisdom could dwell in our hearts, and Christ could dwell in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit could then shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. And not just when things go well. This is what Paul said, that nothing could separate us from the love of God. Why? Because if the wisdom of Christ dwells in my heart, nothing in this world can shape my thoughts about what is happening to me in this world, but I find that wisdom shaping my thoughts and discerning anything that could happen to me in this world. And so even should something bad happen to me, like something horrible happened to Jesus and He died on the cross, you still experience the love of God. I know we've heard a gospel that we don't want to hear any of that. We don't want to hear that, you know, something bad might happen. We've taken the American dream and combined it with the gospel. And what we've done is and said, well, no, if you can work the gospel right, then everything will work perfectly for you in this earth. That ain't the gospel. Your life is not hid in this world. Your life is hid in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that good things can't happen for you, but what that means is you could find the life of God manifesting in you whether things are always going right or not. So should this world throw a monkey wrench into your plans, listen, you can still have peace, love, joy, kindness, long-suffering, meekness. Why? Because your life is not hid in this world. You don't look to this world to find a word about you and the Father that can shape your thoughts, but you look to the one who your life is hid in, seated at the right hand of God. And you hear the word that God's speaking to you from His right hand. And that word shapes your thoughts. And then that word causes you to feel love, even should something bad happen. I'm just telling you guys, I mean, we adorn it and put gold all over it, and we try to make the life in the world real pretty. That's a crappy life. A life where my peace, love, joy, long-suffering can be defined by what happens to me in this world. That's just a substandard existence. I'm just being honest, guys. That's not eternal life. That is an Adam life. That's not the life of Christ. God thinks so highly of us, He wants to save us from anything this world could try to do to us. He wants to give us something that can cause us to experience His life, whether or not this world is wired with the wrong way of thinking or not. This world is wired with the wrong way of thinking right now, guys. It's engineered to come against us. Persecution, this shocks people. Persecution doesn't just come from people being upset about you preaching the gospel. There is a wisdom, the serpent planted in this earth, that wants to persecute the children of God at every turn based on something that could happen to them, not just based on people speaking negatively against them. If you get some disease in your body in this physical earth, that's persecution from this earth. That's persecution from the wisdom of the serpent dwelling in the earth. Let us find our treasure at the right hand of God so that our eyes can all the time be looking there for life instead of finding our treasure in the earth, where we're all the time looking at what's going on in the earth and whether it's going on right for us, and from that place decide if we feel peace or joy or love or any of that. That's a substandard life, man. That life is no good. I hate to break it to everybody. Glory to God. And so how is it that we have fellowship, or how is it that having fellowship with the thoughts of God causes us to abide in his love? And this is something I probably already said it, but I'm going to hammer it so that we can start having this truth born in us. How is it that we can abide in the heart of God? How is it that we can abide in the thoughts that God has for us? How is it that we can abide in this love? And hopefully I'll give at least one example where we can all get it. But if we look at Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So this verse says, out of the heart flow the issues of life. Out of the persuasion that you have in your heart, the persuasion you have in your heart will be the driving force behind the life you experience. Out of the persuasion you have in your heart, the author of Proverbs says, that persuasion you have in your heart will be the driving force behind the life you experience. The persuasion in your heart, out of your heart will flow all the thoughts you will think, all the feelings you will feel, and all the things you will do. You guys following that? Out of the persuasion in your heart, the life you experience will be born. Out of the persuasion in your heart will be born the thoughts you will think, the feelings you will feel, and the things you will do. Okay? The heart is the place from where we reason from, guys, about what it is we believe about things. The heart is the place where we reason from about what it is we believe about things. It's the place that we make judgments from about what it is we believe about things that we see, hear, touch, taste, smell, right? It's the place where we make judgments from. And what happens is these judgments that we make about what it is we believe about things, these judgments that we make about what it is we believe about things becomes the driving force behind the life we experience. Do you see what I'm saying? These judgments we make about things, about what it is we believe about things, will then become the driving force behind our thoughts, behind our feelings, and behind the things that we do. You know, and we talked about this earlier, but for me, you could see when that teacher came and told me I was too intense for people. Do you see how I began to reason about that word? I began to look at her word telling me I was too much for people and I was too intense, and I began making a judgment about whether or not I believe that was true. Now, what do you suppose might have happened in my life if I had concluded that word wasn't true? What do you think would have happened with my thoughts and what I felt and what I did if when I heard that word, I said, no, that's not the truth. That's a lie. It's not the truth. My life would have then been born from a completely different platform. But as we all know, because I've shared it a million times, I concluded that it was the truth. I made a judgment about that word that said it was the truth. And then that judgment that I made then dwelled in my heart and became a part of the persuasion in my heart. And it then began to shape everything I thought about myself and others in life. And then it began to shape everything I felt about myself, about others in life. And it began to shape everything that I did. Everything that I did became shaped by this judgment that I made, that this word was true, and I took it into my heart. That's why you can have two guys that can experience the exact same thing and come out with a completely different view of it. I mean, I have one of the guys who I learned about grace from when I was like 19. He was in Vietnam. And to hear him talk about Vietnam, he loved it. He didn't love it because there was war and he could blow up stuff. He loved it because he sat around meditating on the word. And so he has a view of what happened at Vietnam as something very positive in his life. But I have another friend who was also in Vietnam who does not have a positive view of what happened to him in Vietnam. He has a different word that has shaped his thoughts and his feelings and his life. Two guys, same experience, completely different life manifested from it. Do you see what I'm saying? You guys understand the way this heart thing works? So listen, back to we're so much like God. You guys will find you'll be blessed by some of the stuff that I say here, even if I don't say it very, very pretty or eloquently. I was about to say prettily, Gary. You would have come out of your. You see, I have fellowship with Gary, and it's like I hear this unspoken word from him that tells me how to say the words properly, you know? And then I can rejoice, glory to God. It's God helping me in my ignorance of speech. Hallelujah. Gary, maybe you can do a curtain call at the end, you know, like the guy that hits the home run. He comes up and waves his hat because the people out there are thankful for that contribution you're making in my in my life. But listen, God also has a heart. And out of God's heart flows the fruit of his life. God also has a heart just like you. He also has a persuasion that dwells in him, that causes or shapes the fruit that is born in his life, that gives shape to the life he experiences. Out of the persuasion, out of the logic, out of the wisdom that is in God's heart flows his life. Out of the heart of God flows or comes forth the thoughts that he will think, the feelings he will feel, and the things he will do, just like you and I, okay? Just like you and I. You can experience God just by understanding how that guy is. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you know that I'm going to come here and preach for 3 hours, you can bring a cushion for your rear end if you need one. You know, you can know me just by knowing the way that I function. We can know God just by hearing about the way that he functions. And then we can gain a lot of understanding by understanding we function that way too, because he made us in his image and likeness, glory to God. And then we can find that we know him, right? So, out of God's heart comes forth the thoughts he will think, the feelings he will feel, and the things he will do. Now, because of the persuasion in God's heart, when he looked upon man, he had a certain thought about them and the life he could experience with man. He had a certain thought about man and the life and fellowship he could have with them, and this caused him to feel love for man. Out of the persuasion that God had in his heart when he looked at man, it gave birth to love in his heart towards them. Out of the heart flow the issues of God's life. Out of the persuasion in his heart when he looked upon man, it gave birth to love in his heart towards man. Do you see what I'm saying? So this thought that God had when he looked at man caused him to feel joy. This thought that God had about man excited him emotionally and intellectually. This thought that God had about man caused him to find his rest in them. So out of the thoughts God had in his heart concerning man was born his love for them. Do you see what I'm saying? Now you know why God loves you. And it ain't because he been commanded to. You see what I'm saying? So when God looks upon you guys, he has a thought concerning what he believes about you. The thought he has about you gives birth to the feeling of love in his heart for you. Okay? So the thing God believes about you when he looks upon you causes him to feel love in his heart towards you. So the way this works now is if you can now know what God believes about you, if you can now share in the same thoughts that he has of you, then you can also experience the same love he experiences when he thinks of you. Do you see how that works? His thoughts give birth to love in his heart for you. He comes, he shares his thoughts with you, so his thoughts could dwell in your heart. And in his thoughts about you dwelling in your heart, you can experience the same love he experiences when he thinks of you. You see what I'm saying? You can experience the same love he experiences when he thinks of you because you have his thoughts dwelling in your heart. Hallelujah. And you can get happy about that. So this is how we abide in God's love. We abide in his love by abiding in his thoughts of us. He shared his thoughts of us through the word that was made flesh in Jesus. He has shared his thoughts about who and what kind we are and who and what kind we are not in the birth, in the death, in the burial, in the resurrection of Jesus. And the reason he does this is because he wants to come and actuate our thoughts and our feelings in order that he could actuate the fruit that manifests in our bodies. Glory to God. I get happy about that. So the thoughts God has about mankind is the driving force behind the love he feels for them and the way in which he manifests himself towards them. It's what God thinks of you and all people that causes him to feel love in his heart for you. It's what God thinks about you and all people that causes him to feel love for you. And so when his thoughts dwell in you about yourself and all people, you can find you're experiencing his love, not just for you, but you can find you experiencing love for all people the same way he does, because you begin thinking about all people the way he thinks about all people. That's one of the most drastic changes in my life, when I began to see people the way God saw people. The way God saw people was the resurrection of Jesus. When I began seeing people like that, it became real easy to love them. You see what I'm saying? Because I became captivated by how beautiful they were. You see a person the way Jesus looked in the resurrection? You guys ever seen the movie The Matrix, when they shoot that guy and he seemingly dies, but then the light manifests inside of him, and he stands up, and you see the glory all around him, and you start seeing human beings the way God sees human beings, and you'll find that you love him, because you'll think what he thinks about him. And from this foundation, we could start seeing what Paul was actually talking about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And I'll read Galatians here. And this messes everybody up, because we don't understand the way love works. We don't understand what Paul's talking about. It's an innocent mistake that really has no ramifications early on. But as you move on in understanding the way God works, it has tremendous ramifications when we think of it this way. Dad, you think you can turn down one of these airs? Can you try and turn these two up? I mean, not down, up. You guys are like, what, down? Listen, we know it's a little cold in here if I'm cold. You know what I'm saying? But Galatians chapter 5, this is Paul talking. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Profit you nothing towards what end? To being immersed in the love of God. Okay? "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen for grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Now, what we've done here is traditionally said that the phrase, "but faith which works by love," speaks that faith comes by him loving us. Okay? Now, that word faith there is not talking about that. Okay? It's talking about a different kind of a faith. It's not talking about what we believe. It's not talking about our belief in that verse. Now, later on, he'll talk about one of the fruits of the Spirit being that we trust God with our life. So one of the fruits of our lives, or one of the fruits of the love of God being born in our hearts, is that we'll trust God with our life. But what is it that brings forth the love of God in our hearts? What is it that gives birth to the love that exists in the Godhead in our hearts? Paul is saying something very profound here. What he's saying is there is something called faith that gives birth to this life called love in the heart of a human being. There is something that is called faith that will now cause the heart of the human being to be immersed in God is love, to be immersed in the love that exists in the Godhead. And then from that life called love, they can find trust towards God. They can find joy. They can find peace. They can find long-suffering. They can find meekness. They can find all those things. So what Paul is really saying here when he says, "but faith with works by love," he's saying, "but faith which manifests love." When you look at that in the Greek, it would be, "but faith which gives birth to love," is what he's talking about here. So he's describing that there is something called the faith. This faith gives birth to the life called love. Okay? Now, watch this. So, mankind was created to experience the life called love that exists in the Godhead. We were created for a life called love that exists in the Godhead. And Paul is trying to explain what gives birth to this life. And he's comparing two things that can give birth to this life. He's comparing what you do through the flesh that can give birth to this life? He's comparing two systems. A system whereby you can do a certain amount of things in your life through the flesh, and then that flesh could give birth to the love of God in your heart. Or he's comparing another system that he calls faith, giving birth to the love of God in the heart of the human being. And what he's saying is, do not place your trust in what you can do through the flesh. Do not place your trust in what you can do through the strength of the flesh to bring forth this life called love in your heart, where you experience peace, love, joy, kindness, long-suffering, meekness. Do not place your trust in what you can do. Do not place your trust in your ability to go to church or give a tithe or sing loud at praise and worship or go be a missionary. Don't place your trust in that. That can never bring forth the life of God. You can go be Mother Teresa 20 times over, and it's powerless to bring forth the love of God in your heart. He's saying there's something that can bring forth the love of God in your heart, and it's called faith. And the faith that he's talking about that is full of power to bring forth love in the heart of the human being is called the faith of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't mean what Jesus believed on our behalf. It's talking about the persuasion, the logos, the logic, the wisdom of God that was made flesh in Jesus. He's saying that thing is full of power to cause the love that exists in the Godhead to be born in your heart. So place your trust in that. Make yourself available to hear that wisdom. Fellowship with that wisdom through the Spirit of God, and you'll find that Spirit bringing forth love in your heart. Hallelujah. It's really what, and just because we read this the wrong way so many times, I'm going to hit this a bunch, and I may just have to finish with this instead of getting to the end again. But you see how I get frustrated? Did you notice that? The wisdom of God wants to come and say, Greg, life is not found in whether you get to the end of the message or not. Do you see how the wisdom in the world works? You see how the heart works? I have a persuasion that says, all is great if I finish. And so if I don't finish, I become sad. You see, but the wisdom of God says, Greg, whether you finish or not, man, life is not found in that thing. You can never experience love from finishing. Hallelujah. So what Paul says here, it's really the same thing that Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63. He's saying the same thing Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63. And what Jesus said in John is, he said, the flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. That's the same thing Paul's saying. He's saying the flesh profits you nothing toward the end of experiencing the love of God, and that's the life you were created for. It is the Spirit that is full of power to bring forth the love of God in your heart. That's the same thing Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 5, okay? And not to get technical about it, but justified would just mean that we find ourselves having the correct thoughts, the correct feelings, and experiencing the correct fruit. So Paul is, that's the life called love. So Paul is saying, listen, what you do through the flesh can never bring forth that life in you, but the Spirit of God, which is also called the Spirit of faith, that is full of power to bring forth this life called love in you. Glory to God. That's what Paul is talking about. And I wish I would have put this up here, but I didn't. And so I'm going to interchange some words in that verse to kind of help us understand it better. And I used to call it like the GLT, Greg's Literal Translation. And if I get a chance to translate the Bible, I'll put a footnote on this verse so we can get it right. But if we interchange these words a little bit, it sounds completely different. So listen to this. For in Jesus Christ, neither what you do through the flesh or do not do through the flesh avails anything, but the Spirit which gives birth to love. You see what he's doing? He's trying to take their eyes off of focusing on what they can do through the flesh and then put their eyes on the wisdom that was revealed in Jesus, that was made flesh in Jesus, and that was then poured out into the earth through the Holy Spirit. He's trying to put their eyes on this word that God declared in Jesus. He's trying to put their eyes on Christ and Him crucified so that they could sit at the foot of Jesus and be fed with nutrients in their heart by hearing how well God has spoken of them in Jesus, and they can find their heart strengthened, they can find their inner man strengthened by that word, by that Spirit, and they can find that being strengthened in the inner man, they find that they're experiencing the love of God by knowing it. They're knowing the love of God by experiencing it. And he's saying, the flesh, nothing in this world, whatever there is you can do in this world, whatever it is you can get in this world, whatever you can do to get, to have, to accomplish, there's nothing in this world that can ever cause you to feel this love. The only thing that can ever cause you to feel this love is this faith. It's this persuasion that dwells in God's heart. This heart that is God's heart. Faith is the heart of God made flesh. And he says this faith has been revealed in the flesh in Jesus. And this faith, when it can dwell in the heart of a human being, is full of power to bring forth the same life in that human being that this faith that God has in himself brings forth in him. Remember, out of God's heart flow the issues of life. What heart? Faith. The spirit of faith. The faith that was made flesh in Jesus. The wisdom of God that was made flesh in Jesus. This is faith. And this faith that dwells in the Godhead, that is the heart of God, it brings forth a certain kind of life. And God wanted you to share in his life. And so he made this faith flesh in Jesus. And then he poured this faith out into the earth through the Holy Spirit in order that we could fellowship with this faith. And this faith could create in our hearts the same persuasion that God has in his heart. And then we could think what God thinks. And we could feel what he feels. And then we could find the same fruit in our lives that manifested in God's life. Hallelujah. You got to go back and listen to that over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Not because Greg said something and you should listen to Greg. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I want you to listen to it over and over so you can have fellowship with this spirit that's dwelling inside of you. And then I can hear the beautiful things you're going to say about it. You see what I'm saying? Glory to God. Something interesting here is that in the book of Galatians, and he does it in Ephesians also, I wish more theologians would catch on to this. We'd have so much more understanding about the gospel. But something interesting Paul does here is he uses the words spirit and faith interchangeably. Which, if you look in the scriptures, makes perfect sense because he says we having the same spirit of faith that God has. So he speaks of God having a spirit of faith. That spirit of faith is the thing that brings forth love. And so we having the same spirit of faith through being able to behold Jesus, and then that spirit coming and dwelling in us can now bring forth the same love in us that it brings forth in God. Hallelujah. So Paul uses the word spirit and faith interchangeably in this letter. Something else he uses interchangeably is the phrase, the faith of the Son of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. He uses those phrases interchangeably with the Spirit also. He equates them to being one in the same. He says, these things are one in the same, man, that I'm talking about. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Paul says the thing that is full of power to give birth to love in your heart, to give birth to the love of God in your hearts, is faith. The faith Paul is speaking of here is not talking about your faith. He is talking about the Spirit of God, which was made flesh in Jesus. He is talking about the truths that were revealed in Jesus. That's what he's talking about. The truth that was revealed in Jesus, when it can dwell in your heart, it will cause the love of God to be born. He is the root, and it produces the fruit. He said, I am the truth that is the way unto the life of God. And so the faith Paul is talking about here is the truth that came in the person of Jesus. Glory to God. That's what he's talking about here. So the truths that he's talking about that were revealed in Jesus, some of these truths are that God's never known you according to the flesh. That doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have a physical body in the resurrection and that you'll go float away and be a ghost, never to have a physical body. But what it means is he's never known you, he's never defined you by the fruit that was manifesting in your life. He's never looked at the fruit you could produce to see if it was the same fruit he could produce and then defined you by that. Because he never created you to be able to produce his fruit. He created you to be able to find his fruit born in you. So he says, I've never known you according to what you could do. I've never known you to the fruit you could manifest. I've never known you according to what you could do in the flesh. But I've only ever known you according to the resurrected Jesus seated at the right hand of God. One of these truths he revealed in Jesus is that he's never confused who you are with the sin you committed. He never confused who you were with the sin you committed. He never defined you by the sin you committed. His heart is always filled with adoration when he thinks of you. You excite his mind, his will, and his emotions. He found rest in you because you satisfy his every desire for life and friendship. He will never leave nor forsake you. He loves you with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength. These truths, dwelling in the heart of the human being, are full of power to now give birth to the love that exists in God, to now give birth to what we know as God is love in the heart of a human being. This is shocking, but God is love can be born in the heart of a human being. Oh my gosh. God, who can't be contained in the universe, does not count it robbery to contain all of himself in you. And the way that he does it is coming by revealing the truth that is in him, the wisdom he has in himself, the spirit he has in himself, the faith he is of, the heart he is of, the way that he thinks. Glory to God. I'm going to give a bunch of examples like this. And I'll finish with this verse. I can't get to the end of what I wanted to get to, but what are you going to do, you know? Here's another example. So there is a faith that gives birth to love that existed before man was ever created. There is a faith that gives birth to love that existed before man was ever created in the Godhead. There is a faith that existed before man was ever created. God didn't just become love once man was created. Did the Spirit of God just start bringing forth love once man was created? Or did the Spirit of God always create love? You see what I'm saying? And so this faith Paul talks about is a dynamic, powerful thing. And the wisdom of the serpent has entered the earth and tried to get all of us thinking about our faith. Now listen, we do believe unto salvation, but we don't work up our belief. There's something called faith that when we can see it and hear what it communicates to us, it gives birth to itself in us. And then we begin living from that faith effortlessly. Glory to God. The thing to focus on is the faith that was made flesh in Jesus, not your ability to believe. So we can say it like this. God didn't just become love once man was created. We can say it like this. In the beginning was faith. And faith was with God. And faith was one with God. And this faith is the driving force behind the life and love that exists in the Godhead. We can easily see the way this faith gives birth to love in Jesus coming to offer in himself for the sin of the world. It's real easy to see how faith gives birth to love by looking at Jesus coming to offer in himself for the sin of the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he sent his Son to save them from sin." And I paraphrase the end there, but we all know that's what he did. He came to save us from our sin. God so loved the world that he came to save us from our sin. So because of God's thoughts about man, because of what he believed about man, because of the persuasion in his heart when he looked upon man that said they're beautiful to him, that said they are his kind, it gave birth in his heart to love towards man. And this caused kindness to be manifested from him towards man and him coming to deliver them from sin and making his life available to them through Jesus. That's faith giving birth to love, which then gave birth to kindness. God had a persuasion in his heart about man that caused him to so love man that he came and he visited them with his kindness to deliver them from the sin that was killing them and to make his life available to them for free through Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, man. So when God looked upon the world, this is shocking to people. For so long we've defined God's thoughts by our sin. We've taken our sin and defined God instead of taking God and then defining what we think about our sin. But when God looked upon the world, even while they were yet in their sin, he believed something in his heart concerning them that gave birth to him loving them. That's what John 3:16 said. For God so loved the world. Something gave birth to this love he felt in his heart for the world. What was it? It's what he believed about them when he looked upon them, even while they were yet in their sin. And this gave birth to him loving them. Hallelujah, man. The thoughts of God about man cannot be shaped by their sin. It is not sin that dwells in the core of the Godhead. It is faith. And that faith that has been from the beginning does now not become changed by man's sin. The truth that has always existed from the beginning does not now become changed by man's sin. That's ridiculous. Glory to God. So my prayer, man, is that, and I think I put this on Facebook, but my prayer is that all of us, can come into the understanding that faith is the persuasion that is in the heart of God. This faith is that which was from the beginning, that has been with God from the beginning, that He is one with, that created all things, that has come in the flesh in the person of Jesus and has been poured out into the earth through the Holy Spirit in order to create in the hearts of mankind the same persuasion that is in the heart of God. And in this, we can find our lives animated, are shaped by God is love, and we can find our lives animated by the same love that animates the very existence and life of God. That blows my mind. If I talked with the mic, it's like now they do this drop mic thing. When I think of that, when I think of what I just said, I want to take the mic and just drop it and sit down and think, Lord, how can that be? How can that even be possible? What I just said. How can that be? So Paul is saying that this word, this faith, this spirit, this persuasion that came in the person of Jesus gives birth to the life that is love in the Godhead. And this love life is defined by kindness, trust, love for one another, meekness, long-suffering. And lest you think you can find that love life manifesting in you through your own ability, he wants you to know it's this faith that will give birth to this love life in you, and all you do is make yourself available to hear what this faith says. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. So God believes something to be true about you, and this persuasion in his heart about you causes him to be kind to you. It causes him to want to be kind to you. It causes him to love you. It causes him to feel joy when he thinks of you. That's what it's talking about here. And then I'll finish with this example, and that's it. 3 minutes. It's like with Becky. I'll put a human term on it after I talked all that technical talk, so you can kind of say, ah, you know. But it's like with Becky. I dwell in a certain spirit concerning Becky. I am of a certain faith concerning Becky. I have a certain persuasion in my heart concerning Becky. And this persuasion I have in my heart gives birth to what I think about her. When I think of Becky, my mind becomes excited. When I think of Becky, man, I just think about how good she smells, how beautiful she is, how her smile just lights up a room, how her eyes just twinkle with excitement. And when I think of Becky, I just want to sing and rejoice over her with singing and dancing. Even in the day, should Becky decide she hates me, that could never change my thoughts of Becky. That might change me being able to experience her loving me back. It might change me being her being able to experience my love for her, but it could never change my thoughts of her because I am of a certain persuasion or faith when it comes to her. And that faith gives birth to everything that I'll ever think about her. And that faith causes me to love her in my heart. That faith that I have about her gives birth to love in my heart towards her. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what it is that brings forth love in my heart towards Becky? Now, what can happen is the thoughts that I have of Becky, the word that I have in my heart about Becky can be made flesh in me. The thoughts that I have about Becky, the word that I have in my heart about Becky can be made flesh in me. And what can happen is she can have fellowship with my thoughts. She can have intimacy with my thoughts of her. She can have intimacy with she can have fellowship with the thoughts that I think of her, and then she can have fellowship with the way that I love her through me. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how this thing can be born in me? Okay? She can have fellowship with my thoughts of her and the love that my thoughts cause me to feel towards her. What can happen is through her fellowship with that word that's been made flesh in me, my thoughts can be born inside of her. And she can now start living her life from the thoughts that I think of her. And in that she can have my thoughts about her now dwelling in her heart, what that can do is it can cause her to feel the same love in her heart that I feel for her. Do you see what I'm saying? So this word I have about Becky, it can be made flesh in me. Becky can fellowship with that word I have in my heart about her. And she can start fellowshipping with what it is I think about her. And then my thoughts can then dwell in her heart. And in my thoughts about her dwelling in her heart, she can then feel the same love in her heart that I feel for her in my heart. And that's the way that it is with God. It's the same way with God. So in the day my thoughts of Becky can be born in her heart, she will be able to experience me loving her. She will be able to feel the love I feel for her. She will be able to experience the love I feel for her in my heart, in her own heart, because the persuasion I have in my heart that causes me to love her is now dwelling in her heart. Do you see how that works? I have a persuasion that makes me love Becky. In the day that I want Becky to feel my love, I want my persuasion to dwell in her heart. And in it dwelling in her heart, she can then feel the same love that I feel for her. Glory to God. Now listen, it works the same way in your relationship with God. It's the same way with God. He comes to shape your life with his love for you by revealing his thoughts of you in Jesus. So in the same way, his thoughts about you causes him to feel love in his heart. When his thoughts can dwell in your heart through Christ, it will give birth to the same love in your heart that is in him. The word was made flesh. The thought of God about human was made flesh. And we fellowshipped with that thought. And we beheld that thought. And we looked upon that thought. And that thought became born in us. And that thought began to give birth to the love that exists in the Godhead. And that thought began to shape our life with the same love that God's life is defined by. And we began to experience kindness, love, joy, meekness, long-suffering, patience. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your goodness towards us. Thank you, Father, for your goodness towards all people. I just thank you, Father, that you didn't keep your love or your thoughts for us secret and set up some roadmap for us to play like some find the hidden treasure. I thank you, Father, that you revealed this treasure plainly and clearly, and you smacked it right dab in front of us, and you said, behold, this is what I think about people. I thank you, Lord, that this word can go out into the earth, and that it can begin to shape all the thoughts of man, that it can dwell in the hearts of man, and they can find their lives being shaped by this word that has entered this earth, and his name is Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.